Blog Talk Radio.
Don't misunderstand. We are all strangers. Don't misunderstand.
They say I'm from the city where it's purple and it's bright. Trump wave but smoke wilder while I'm idle with the light. This black on the feet of candy paint looking right. Got the stains on the back. Got the shoes looking right. Six plate on the back. Got the stick on the dash. Cut roll full of dro. Got a pocket full of cash. That's when I laugh. Yeah, if you only knew the ass. Nah, I ain't from here. I mean, who in their right mind would come here? But I would sit by the sun here. A lot of work to be done here. And I ain't leave it till I finish, but it's like a paper in a finger like a pen. So I make sure that I spin it like I'm far from the bank. Get it in here, spread it.
Don't misunderstand. We are strangers.
I was called by the magic, they called it cheating. Get off the big app, but it's also deceiving. The land of the free, home of the brave. I say that it's the land of the fake, the home of the slave. With venom under our lips, like the death in our tongues. The rage in our throats, the season just begun. We fight for our rights and ignite fire, shining so bright. With Christ's light, bringing light to things that really bright. This is the poetic bliss, I'm saying. I am the Mr. Edgar Allan Poe and Ray Lewis, cause I'm the Raven. With the bird's option, I'm looking real in the face, and it really doesn't look like you. I'm so sick of hearing these lies, throwing juices to the face. Yes, it looks like I won the Nobel Peace Prize. Jay to the pavement, on the solid rock I stand. My heart focused on the lion and the lamb.
We are strangers. Don't misunderstand. We are strangers.
I don't love it here, I swear I don't love it here. But yet still a lot of love to cover here. Try to remind myself that this ain't home. But it's hard when they treat me like I'm one of their own. This world here is the one that he owns. The strength of this world sitting on his throne. His palms look at me like what is he on? He won't bow down, but come on of this world. I'm like, nah, I'm good. You wish I would. Tell my first wife was some soup. I could, but I won't. I ain't. It looks good, but I can't. Fall into the pool in that nonsense. It's more than a conscience. It's more like a spirit. I pray you hear it when I put my whole heart in the verse before the lyrics. I'm just showing my hand. No room for you to misunderstand.
Yeah. We are only strangers. Don't misunderstand. We are only strangers. Don't misunderstand. We are only strangers. Don't misunderstand.
Hey fam, hey fam, it is us. Blessings, blessings, blessings to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, all I can tell you is that God is wonderful. God is awesome. God is full of love and he's encouraging. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what life is hitting you with, we can know without a doubt that our God is the true and living God. Hey, Brother Tracy, Sister Rhonda, Sister Cindy, God bless you. This is a word of encouragement for us today. We can know that the invisible God is a God that we can see because we can see him through the spiritual eyes of God's word, through nature, through his creation,
We can see him. We're going to take a look at this from Scripture, and I pray that this will encourage you and enlighten you if need be, because I'm telling you, friends, there's a lot of folks out here. They talk about Mother Nature, and they talk about, you know, some form of God, but it's not the true and living God, and that you can't depend on any other God but the one and true, the only true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who spoke it and it came to be. So I'm hoping that this will encourage you, and not only encourage you, but you can be an encourager to somebody else after hearing this, because we need to know that we can see the invisible God, and we can see him through his holy word. We can see him through the things that he has left here for us to be able to look if we have a spiritual heart. But you got to have a heart right with God. You got to be born again. You got to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. It can't be a religion. If you're a religious person, you're not going to understand this because you're trying to do it in your own strength. But if you got a relationship, if you become born again of the Spirit, I promise you, you will be able to share what you, not what you feel, but what you know about God. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, invite him in, and invite him to be in us so that we can have spiritual eyes to see. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you, Lord God, for dying on the cross for us. You came down here from heaven, Lord God. You didn't have to, but you did it because you loved us. And you took up on, you took the death penalty that we deserve. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have, those of us who have a relationship with you have eyes to see and a heart ready to receive, Lord. And if we're thirsty, we're thirsty for the living water. We're not thirsty for the crumbs down here that Satan has left, Lord. But we're thirsty for things that are eternal. So, Lord, fill us up, Lord, right now. May we drink of the well of the living water. May we eat at the table of our master. May we be encouraged and strengthened with this message in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, if you're being blessed by the teachings here, hey, share them with people. Hit the share button and pass that along to other people so they can be strengthened and encouraged. This is not just for a handful. This is for the masses. We want people all over the world to be encouraged and strengthened. So share the message out. Let them know that there's a place where they can come and get living water. Not my word, but his word, saith the Lord. Amen. All right. Again, I want to invite you guys, if you don't have a church, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a home Bible church, please check us out at Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org. You can check out the website. You can be able to listen and follow along with the teachings on the live streams that's recorded on YouTube. So, hey, again, it's all about sharing the word of God and encouraging one another. Amen. I'm not trying to make my name great. I want to make him great. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. For those that would like to call in, if you have a comment at the end of this message, I'm only going to probably be on here about 35 minutes with you. But if you have a comment or something, you can call in 646-668-8468 on the podcast. I'm live on my podcast on Blog Talk Radio. So you can call in at the end of the show if you have a comment, because I know we can't interact for those that's watching on Facebook Live. So just know you can call in. Today we're talking about seeing the invisible God, our Heavenly Father. We're coming out of 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, for one of the reasons Paul was able to live as he lived and preach as he preached and endured what he endured, and we know that Paul endured a lot of hardships. He endured a lot of trials and tribulations. Why? Because he was a man who could see the invisible God. He could see the invisible God. He hadn't had the experience that Moses had, but his experience was trials and tribulations, and yet he still did it with great encouragement. Because he did it as unto the Lord. He see, one of the things about us, friends, is that if we don't feel good about it, we're not going to do it. In today's modern church today, it's all about how we feel. A lot of things that we base our relationship on what we're going to do for the kingdom based on how we feel. Notice what Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. This world is temporal. Look, your clothes are temporal. This body that we carry around is temporal. Everything about us is temporal, friends. Nothing here is going to last. I want you to get that in your spirit, man. Nothing here is going to last. We know from 2 Peter chapter 3, we're told that this earth is going to burn up. And we need to understand that we need to have a heavenly mindset for us to be able to have a biblical foundation. We got to have a heavenly mindset. We have to be thinking about God the way he talks about himself. We need to be thinking. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look, it's nice to have vacations. It's nice to have things, have nice things. Nothing wrong with that. But if you make them your God, if you make this place your home, that you're trying to stay here forever and you don't have a heavenly perspective, you're going to be discouraged and you're not going to be encouraged. Nor will you be able to encourage other people. We need to be encouraging agents to those who are downtrodden and beat down by the weight of this world, the burdens of this world. And the only way we're going to be able to do that, friends, is we have to have a heavenly-minded perspective. We cannot be we can't be caught up in the cares of this world, the riches of deceitfulness that come along and strangle us. Matthew 13 tells us about that. How detrimental it is for us to be caught up in things. Our focus needs to be first and foremost on the kingdom, because God wants us to plant seeds and souls. There are people dying. There are people, they're out here committing suicide. You can't go, look, what did we have? Last week, Easter Sunday, we had a gentleman who was so downtrodden by his girlfriend in the relationship, he started taking innocent lives. He shot a man on Facebook Live, then turned around and killed himself some days later. That's because when you don't have a biblical mindset, it's so easy for the devil to come in and discourage you and tear you down. Amen, Tracy. Set your affections. That means your desires. Set your affections on things above. We like to quote Psalm 37 a lot about, oh, God will give you the desires of your heart. God's desires for us is to have a desire for him and his glory first and foremost. Don't let nothing come in and take away your joy that you can only get in Jesus Christ. Paul was telling us, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for things which are not seen are temporal. The things that are not, they're temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see every day are temporal. Look, you might have a bank account full of green, but guess what? It can't buy you into the kingdom of heaven. Nobody, not one soul on this planet, has ever bought his salvation. Not one soul. You're not going to be able to buy yourself into a right relationship with God, nor with other people that know the Lord. I don't care how much money you got. If you don't know Jesus, you're not my brother or sister until you come into a relationship. I'm going to love you with the love of Christ, but I have to encourage you to come to Christ. Because if you don't come to Christ, friend, you're not going to see Jesus. What's the greater? What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? A lot of people are trying to buy Jesus. You can't buy Jesus. Lucifer is for sale. He'll let you pretend. Oh, yeah, come on, come. I'll give you those things. Those things are temporal. They cannot feed you, or they cannot satisfy that void in our lives without Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, there's a void there. Sex has been you've been trying to use sex maybe, or drugs or alcohol. Maybe you're trying to gamble your way into a victory, but you find yourself constantly empty at the end of the day. When it's just you and your conscience, then God is speaking, and he's trying to call you to come to him. He wants you to know that there is an invisible God that you can see if you just look with the spiritual eyes, but you must be born again. You must have a foundation, and that foundation is built upon a solid rock. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Notice what God tells us, that we can find God in nature. Job 12:7-10 tells us this. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Job 12:17, he tells us this. I'm going to read out of the Voice translation because Job hits us with a lot of poetry, and he's speaking from a place in his heart where he's been beat down by the things. He doesn't understand what he's going through, but God is taking him and allowing him to go through these things to show Satan that he has a faithful servant. He says in Job 12:7-10, however, call on the animals to teach you the birds that sail through the air are not afraid to tell you the truth. Engage the earth in conversation. It's happy to share what it knows. Even the fish of the sea are wise enough to explain it to you. In fact, which part of creation isn't aware, which doesn't know the eternal God hand has done? You see what Job says? Every creation on the planet knows there's a God, even the animal kingdom. They know. God says they testify to his glory. He says his hand cradles the life of every creature on the face of the earth, everywhere. But what does the atheist try to tell us, friend? Oh, they say there's no God, there's no... Yeah, keep on saying that. One day you're going to meet him face to face, and it will be too late. It will be too late. Don't be unwise. Be wise. God wants us to be wise. If the fish, the birds, and the animals of all over, if all of creation knows this, we need to know it. Because we have been created in the imago Dei, the image of the Almighty God. We've been created in his image. Psalm 145, verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. When you're feeling downtrodden, when you're feeling beaten down by the cares of this world, go to Psalms and find splendor in his word. He says, David says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. You can find great comfort in knowing that God, who created all things out of nothing, has a plan for you. You're not obsolete. You're not less than the monkey. You're not less than the fish. You're not less than the worm. You have been made for God. You have been made to glorify his name. Be encouraged. Be strengthened by the word of God, knowing that our God, who created heaven and earth, he created you, and he created you for a purpose. Psalms 96:11-12, let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Wow. Do you hear this? When you see those trees moving, they singing to the Lord. They give allegiance. They give glory to the Almighty. Jesus. They speak back to God. Everything that grows, God has given a way of acknowledging him. They bow down to the Almighty. If they bow down to him, why can't we? Why can't we wake up giving joy? Notice, let me just read it again. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, that all that fills it. Let the field exalt and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Man, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. If creation bows down, I mean, even the lowest form of creation, you imagine in the garden before the fall, creation was bowing down to the majesty of God. It was given hallelujahs in its own language. We didn't hear it. Adam and Eve probably didn't hear it, but nature was bowing down to God. It knew who God was. And you got people who've been created on this planet who still won't acknowledge the holiness of God. They shut off their minds and they suppress the truth, Romans 18 tells us. They suppress it. It's not that they don't know. They just basically push it down. Don't speak to me, God. I don't want to hear from you today because I don't want to be convicted. And they do it over and over and over. Are you doing that? I pray to God nobody's doing that here. Nobody should be suppressing the truth. Bible says clearly that we know there is a God. Man is without excuse. When every person, every boy and girl, past, present, and future, when we stand before in the holiness of God, when we stand in front of him, we're going to be judged, and he knows that we know him. And he knows that he knows those that have rejected him and those that have shook their fists at him and told him to kick rocks. He knows. He knows every one of us by name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. I don't have much hair on my head, but guess what? The little fuzzy, he knows it. He knows how many strands of hair popping out that little noggin of mine. He knows it. Every one of us. I don't care if you got a big old afro or just blonde hair. Whatever it is, he knows. He tells us that Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Man is still trying to understand the mind of God. And you'll mess around and bust a blood vessel trying to understand the mind of God. But what we can understand, friends, is what God has put in his word, his holy writ. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path if we will get on the road to eternity. The road to glory, friends, means that we will walk with Jesus and stop walking with Satan, stop holding Satan's hand, pulling him along with us. You gotta be arrested by Jesus and let Satan go. Don't let Satan be your God. Don't let him be your friend. We gotta crucify our flesh. We gotta resist the devil and he will flee. You can't resist him with a closed Bible and a closed mind and a closed heart, though. Don't think you can walk this race without Jesus. Don't think you can walk this race or run this race without the true and living God. Isaiah 55:12, he says, for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. My. Woo! Friends, I don't know about you, but I just got chills thinking about that. Do you know that God, just like he spoke to that fig tree in the Gospels, he speaks to the mountains. He speaks to every bug on the planet, every worm, every ant. He speaks to them, friends. So how much more will he speak to you and me when we have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart ready to receive instruction? That's why the book of Proverbs is so profound. It's a book of wisdom. And when you and I surrender our will, then we can receive wisdom. But he says, if any of you lack it, come and ask me. But you got to be a believer. You cannot fake it till you make it, because you're not going to make it if you're trying to fake it. Jesus wants us to know him. He wants us to know him through nature. He wants us to know him through his word. Jesus wants us to grow. Too many Christians are making excuses to stay babies, and they don't want to be mature young men and young women and grow up into adulthood. They don't want to get off of the Similac. They don't want to get off the breast milk. They don't want to get off the bottle. They want to get off the Gerbers. And they've been walking this world, walking this faith 10, 15, 20 years, but they still in diapers. God wants us to come out of the diapers, out of the huggies, out of the pull-ups, friends, and start putting our pants on, our big pants on, and our shirts on, and start acting like men and women of God. He wants us to be encouraged and strengthened. He wants us to be mature men and women. He wants us to know the invisible God with spiritual eyes. We got to have eyes that will see, ears that will hear, and a heart ready to believe by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not what we see. See, most people are looking for a Jesus that they painted in this picture. That's not Jesus, friends. That is not the picture that God describes of his son. He's not handsome. He's not beautiful. He's not someone we would draw to because of his outward appearance. Isaiah 55 tells us that. And in the Gospels, he was beaten beyond recognition. These pictures that they put up, friends, that's another tactic of the enemy to get us off course. We hang them in our walls. We hang them around our cars. We have little pictures, air fresheners of this Jesus. That's not Jesus. Don't get caught up in the picture. Get caught up in his word. Thy word is truth. You will know him. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord. And it won't be because the pictures we see. Don't bow down to any images that so-called are called Jesus. Those are not Jesus. We need to bow down to the Jesus, the invisible God, who we can see through his word. We need to be strengthened by the word, not lose focus of the word. We need to bow down. He says in Psalm 69:34, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. Let heaven and earth praise him? And the oceans? Do you realize that 75% of the world is water? Can you tell me? Because no scientist can really prove this. Why is it that this world has not been flooded out if 75% of it is water? You know why? Because God has, he controls it. He keeps the water from rushing up. I'm 6 miles from the ocean. I live in Inglewood, California. I'm 6 miles from the beach. At any given time, if God was to release it, if he was to take up that line that he draws that keeps the water back. Because notice when you go to the beach, you can be out there on the beach and on the sand, and the water never goes up or so far. Why is that, friends? It's because God. Because God. This world is 75% water. It can swallow us up. New York, L.A. It can swallow up Texas. It can swallow up every part of us at any given time. But God restrains the waters. God holds back floods. He said he would never flood the earth again, but at any given time, he gives us a little sample here and there to let us know who's really in control. Those floods that hit Louisiana, that's just a reminder, I'm still God. You better recognize that I am the one in control of water coming forward. At any given time, I can let an earthquake hit California. At any given time, I could burn you out with fires all over the place. God says, I'm in control of everything. We don't name and claim anything. We surrender our will to his will. We don't have a will when it comes to God. It's yes, daddy. It's yes, daddy. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to somebody here. Somebody. Nehemiah 9:6 says, you are the Lord. You alone have made heaven, the heavens, heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all them, and the host of heaven worship you. Do you hear this? Nehemiah said, you are the Lord. You are the Lord alone. And when we speak about you are the Lord alone, the Trinity is still present. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three of them are present. All three are in agreement. All three are God. He says, you are the Lord alone. You are the Lord. You alone have made heaven. Then he says, the heaven of heavens with all their host and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. When he says you preserve it, you keep the floods from flooding us out. On the East Coast, the West Coast, from the North to the South, you control everything. You can let a tsunami run through here at any given time just by saying, just speaking it. God, because you're in control, because you are God alone. We don't tell you what to do. You don't tell us your plan because you're sovereign. I hear a lot of people, how they act about, oh, the president. You better get in your spirit, friends. God's in control of government. And when the nations don't fear God, God will give you a ruler that you won't like. He'll put somebody in there, oh, you don't want a man of God, a man of integrity? Okay, I'll just give you something I really turn your apple cart over, in other words. See, when we speak against those that God put in authority, God says, okay, just like he did with Israel when they wanted Saul to be king. God was the king, but he said, oh no, we want a king like all the other nations. Okay, this is what you want, this is what you're going to get, and this is what they're going to do to you. They're going to lead you into captivity. Because you don't want the best, you want less. Amen, Phyllis. Just to straighten us out, God has a chastening rod for his people, for his children, just like he chastens Israel. Just like Israel right now, they're still his children, but they're under the umbrella. God has blinded them. He has spiritually blinded them that they cannot see and receive the Messiah. Oh, there are some Messianic Jews. There are a handful of them, but not the masses. Right now, God is dealing with the church, and guess what? He's purging the church, and predominantly the Church of America. Oh, there's a lot of gossip here, but not a lot of gospels. There's not a lot of gospel fighters here, not a lot of soldiers for Christ. Everybody's trying to name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Friends, you're not taking none of that junk with you, so God wants us to get with his program and get out of this mindset that we are supposed to be rich. I am rich. My mansion is waiting for me in heaven. My God is going to be there to manage it until I get there. And right now, I'm just glad that I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Spirit. Because ain't nothing down here worth my soul. Not one thing you can give me that's better than my relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one. $1 million cannot pay for my salvation. We need Jesus. We need to understand the invisible God is speaking to us through his holy writ and his word. And he's telling us, friends, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You trying to direct your path? Give up the wheel, friends. Let Jesus take the wheel. Don't sing the song. Give him the wheel. You get in the back and rest in him and say, I'm good because I'm just chilling. God, wherever you lead me, I'm going. It doesn't mean you're going to have it easy. Doesn't mean you won't have no trials. Don't mean you won't have any tribulations. Don't mean that your life is going to be blessed or so beautiful down here. But what you do have, you have a relationship with God that even in the midst of your trials and tribulations, Jesus is with you. I don't care what you lose. I don't care what you lose. You cannot lose your relationship with God if your relationship is genuine. And that relationship will take you and encourage you and strengthen you and build you up in your most holy faith if you just trust in Jesus. If you let Jesus be king of your life. 646-668-8468. Let me see where we at in time. 646. Okay, we got 26 minutes. We'll cut it off in about 10 minutes. You want to call in if you got a comment about this. It's an opportunity for you to call in on the podcast, 646-668-8468. You can go ahead and start calling in now. You can listen in, and we'll take your phone call if you like. Real quick, though. Hallelujah. We have to remember, friends, that the word is living and breathing. It's active. The word of God, it's our life source. Do you realize, friends, there's going to come a time that they're going to come and want to take your word away from you? You better have as much as you can in your soul, in your spirit, to be able to be encouraged. You got to know that the word is where it starts and where it ends at for us as believers. Because if you just got a teaspoon of Jesus, It's not going to help you when you come down, when it comes down to going through some great trials in America. I believe America is going to come under great persecution. I believe the next president what we get, it's going to be even more, it's going to be a war on Christians firsthand, because they don't care nothing about our Jesus. They don't want to hear nothing about our gospel. They call us religious fanatics. They call us homophobes. I don't care what they call me, as long as they don't call me a hypocrite. Amen. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Get that in your spirit. Meditate on that. In the beginning. What beginning? The beginning as we know it. Because it was never a beginning for God. He's not living from A to Z. When he uses a word, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's never the end of anything, and he's never the beginning. When it came to his life, he always existed. Jesus has always existed, so he had no beginning. But he's talking to us in the human sense that in the beginning of what we know the beginning to be, from Genesis, from the beginning to Revelation, the end of this age, because it's not the end of God. It was never the beginning of God in Genesis. That was just when he started to basically put it together, or put us together and make us vessels to use us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, but he always existed. He didn't, oh, well, God, you know, he just formed himself out of nothing and came to be. And then he said, oh, I think I'll make some company. I'll create people. He's always been, and he was never alone, because guess what? The Trinity was always in place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were never alone, and they were never missing anything, never lacking anything. He didn't create us because he was lonely. He created us to bring glory to his name. To bring glory to his name. He saved us to bring glory to his name. How many times have you been out and you've been talking to somebody about the love of Christ, and you see them start to experience, their whole attitude changes, and God starts to minister to them because you poured into them that love for them? If you haven't experienced it, I pray to God that you plug into somebody. I pray to God that you would be a ministering agent. This message is not for you to hide under a bushel in your heart. It's not for you to just go to church and say, oh, I had heard a good word today. Well, did you share that word with somebody that's thirsty, somebody that's hungry, somebody that's out there eating in the pig trough? They need to know about the Jesus that you just was encouraged by. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. If Isaiah was speaking it, why aren't we speaking it? Do you speak that word out of your mouth to encourage and build up, to share the message, that light that's able to bring people out of darkness and bring them into a relationship? He says it should not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and I shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Your words, look, the word of God is not for us to go around trying to create mysticism and, oh, I spoke the word over this, or I spoke the word over this. It's God's word, friends. We don't go and speak like we're God. We're not God. When we speak the word, it's his will be done, not our will be done. When we go and tell people about Jesus, I can't make them promises other than the promise that God has made for each and every one of us that surrenders our will, we will be healed by his stripes. And his stripes heals us from first the disease and sickness of sin. God wants to raise up people that's dead in their trespasses and make them alive. And when a person, a man, a woman, boy, a girl, comes to saving faith in Jesus, they have been healed from sin and the destruction of sin. They've been made whole, and they've been made a new creation. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for any man or woman who be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Oh, don't you want to pour that into somebody? That right there, friends, is what the Bible says, bearing fruit. when you share your faith, like it's no other faith in the world, which there is no other saving faith, but when you share it with conviction and power and love and sincerity, I promise you it won't come back void. I promise you, it doesn't matter if they didn't want to hear it today. You planted the seed. Somebody else, some brother or sister comes along tomorrow and waters it. But God gives the increase. God is the one that can raise up the dead and make them alive. Somebody, you're going to meet people in heaven. If you planted seeds, you're going to meet people in heaven that you watered some and you planted some and God gave the increase, and they'll come up to you one day in glory and say, hey, Brother Tracy, thank you, man. Remember you talked to me, and so and you'll know. God's going to show you. Hey, Mary, remember you talked to me and when I was in the mall? Remember you talked, hey, Phyllis. Because, see, God wants to use each and every one of his servants to be representatives of the invisible God, because we see him with spiritual eyes now. We have a relationship. We know him, and he knows us. This relationship is intimate. This relationship is ongoing and ongoing because the word of God is a lamp to our feet. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. Jesus. Can you say that? Can we really get that in our spirit, man? That this word is a lamp to our feet. It causes us to not stumble in darkness, but it keeps us on the narrow path. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to fall. It doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. But for the 7 days out of the week, how much time is God getting the glory because we have victory? How many days out of the week do we persevere because we're standing on the road to eternity? And we're being strengthened and encouraged by the word. We're getting fed in sermons. We're listening to sermons that's going to help feed our spirit, man. Look, all that attitude, oh, I got my pastor, I got this. Man, friends, let me tell you something. We are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I'm not saying you listen to each and every pastor that comes on YouTube or even on, especially on TV. But I'm saying that if a man is speaking the word of God, it doesn't matter what church you attend. As long as you're being encouraged and strengthened, then he was sent by God as a messenger of God. So therefore, he should be able to encourage you with the word of God. Amen. He's not trying to be your shepherd. He's just trying to be an encourager. We get caught up in it. Well, I got my own church. I got my own pastor. See, that's idolatry. Don't make any one person the only person that can feed your soul, because you don't know where you might be at any given time. And if somebody gave you a word of encouragement on a plane, a train, a boat, I don't care if you was in a rocket ship, if they gave you a word of encouragement, you better believe if it came from the word of God, it was there. God sent him, and he sent that message, and he wants you to be encouraged and strengthened. And you don't say, well, I can't listen to you because you're not my pastor. Okay, miss out on your blessing by being proud. We're going to wrap this up. Got one more scripture, though. See how much time we got. Again, 646-668-8468 if you want to call in. If you got a word of encouragement for me, if you want to say how you enjoyed this message, give me one more scripture, though. Again, he says here in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is breathed out by God. That's what we have to understand first and foremost. All scripture is breathed out by God. If you don't have that in your mind and you start questioning the integrity of God's word, you're going to be messed up from that point on. You're going to be totally messed up because you're going to start to, well, I don't know if it was written by, well, God didn't write it. He breathed. What does that mean? He breathed on. No, friends, you have to know all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. You have to know that by faith and by facts. the word of God doesn't come back void, remember? It's not going to come back void. If God said it, he said the world was going to get more corrupt, right? What's happening around the world? We got China, I mean, not China, we got North Korea at any time threatening to use nuclear missiles. They're trying to shoot them up in the air over here. We got things going on in Syria, Russia and Syria over there. We just dropped a mega bomb on them, on Syria. We got people all over in small little pockets. ISIS is constantly attacking Christians and non-Muslims. So you tell me, because my Bible says that we would have wars and rumors of wars, and he also said the love of most would wax cold. So are we not living in that time period? But you'll see the atheists and you'll hear, oh, there's no God. How can a loving God allow a baby to die? That baby got more rights to get back to glory than you do, you and I do. That baby is going back to the Father. Just like when David Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, when they were in sin and he allowed her husband to be killed. And he went, and he basically had she was pregnant with his child. He tried to cover it up, and David's son was taken. He was killed. He was born and he died. David wept about his sin. He wept about what had happened. But David says, "Hey, he can't come to me, but I can go to him." He was getting inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God would one day allow him to see his son, his unborn son. He would see him face to face one day. And I believe every child is under the umbrella of God's grace because they don't know sin. They were born in sin, but they don't know sin. And I believe there's an age of accountability for each child. What that age is, I don't know. But I believe that. There are certain people, some kids that are more mature than others. Some kids, they get, you know, they know God at 8, 9, 10, and they're students of the Word of God already. They're not just there at Sunday school playing games. But, again, all Scripture is breathed out. I mean, it was God-breathed. He breathed upon the writers of the new Old and New Testament. He breathed upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they wrote as the Spirit of God moved them. You can find that in, I believe, Second Peter chapter 3 or Second Peter chapter 4. You can find that. But God breathed upon these men, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You might read a book that's written by a Christian author, and you know it's been anointed because you can feel it speaking back to you. It can be encouraging or even convicting you, but it's still speaking to you, and it's causing you to think. It's causing you to make decisions or to maybe even repent. But he says all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof. The word will reprove you. It'll chasten you. That word will chasten you. It will hit you upside the head. Why are you talking about me like that? See, when anybody asks, when you speak in the word, if you're sharing the message and somebody says, well, it sounds like you're talking about me, that's reproof. Because that means you got a heart, and your heart just been touched by the word, and that word brought a reproof to you. Because you like now you're thinking it's personal. And he says for correction. Correction is straight up. Hey, you've done this, God says that's wrong, and you need to repent of it. Correction. And training, so you'll do the right thing. You'll go and make right decisions, make right choices. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. So this word is powerful, and we see in Hebrews chapter 4, he tells us how powerful the word of God is, sharper than a two-edged sword. Word ain't no butter knife. A lot of people around here carrying their Bibles around like they butter knives. What's up with that? You can't fight a war if your weapon not sharp. I'm talking about in a spiritual battle. You cannot fight this battle with a butter knife. Your sword must be sharp, and that means you must be sharp in the word. You must be a student of God's word so you can be able to defeat and come. You, when the enemy comes with lies, you come with truth. Are we going to have to do a part two on this already? See, I'm going to close it off right now. Let me see if we got any callers. If we don't, I'm going to go ahead and pray and close this up. But, friends, I'm telling you, 646-668-8468, last cry. Try to, if anybody wants to call in, 646-668-8468. We need to understand, friends, that this word is our sword, and we need to keep our sword sharpened. We need to be strengthened by the word of God continuously, and only way we're going to be strengthened by it is to get into the word. We cannot just pick up our word haphazardly and think we're going to grow. It's not going to happen. So I want to encourage you with that. Seeing the invisible God with spiritual eyes is the name of this lesson. 2 Corinthians 4:18 was the starting point. But I want us to understand, friends, that we need to have eyes that are biblically minded, eyes that are biblically focused. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It's the 24th, 2017 of April. Let's pray in closing. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the word, which is the truth. We thank you, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And when we embrace it, when we truly, sincerely lay ourselves before it, Lord, we need to lay ourselves before it, understanding it was God-breathed. It wasn't just words printed on pieces of paper. It wasn't just words that were just somebody, just a madman, just came and just started writing things. No, it was breathed out by God. And your word proves to be true, Lord, because it continually chastens us. It continually corrects us. It reproves us. It trains us. It will do all that it said it will do, that you said it will do, because your word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for this message. Thank you for filling me with the Spirit today. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging my brothers and sisters. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen. Hey, friends, thank you for your for the encouragement today. Thank you for being here with me on live stream. I pray that you'll share this message out with your friends and families. And again, I want to just encourage you, let's continue to look at the invisible God through all of creation, nature, his word, and again, as he continues to just open our eyes, may we continue to walk with a heart for him. People need the Lord. They need the Lord, and they need a relationship with Jesus. And God wants to use you and me to pour into somebody that they may come to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless.